From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. The situation is increasingly perilous. Those words from President Obama today were used not to describe the economy, but rather the situation in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Mr. Obama unveiled his new strategy for the region this morning, a strategy that increases both troop levels and funding. He summed up his goal this way.
To disrupt, dismantle, and defeat al-Qaeda in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and to prevent their return to either country in the future. That's the goal that must be achieved. That is a cause that could not be more just. And to the terrorists who oppose us, my message is the same. We will defeat you.
The president's focus on foreign policy today capped a week dominated by talk of the economy and how to fix it. On Monday, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner announced his plan to create a public-private partnership that would buy up some of the toxic assets weighing down the banks.
This is the best way, in our view, to protect the taxpayer. The alternative approaches, which have the government buying all this stuff, taking on all the risk on their balance sheet, would be much more expensive to the taxpayer. The alternative of letting it just sit there, let these assets just sit in the balance sheets of banks, would risk creating a much longer, deeper recession.
Secretary Geithner talking on CNBC on Monday. To walk us through the week, we are joined by our regular political commentators, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome.
Thank you.
See you guys again. Let's talk first about the Geithner plan, the public-private partnership. It looks like Wall Street liked what it heard. Do you guys really think it's going to work? David Brooks?
Wall Street's incredibly stupid. A couple weeks ago he had the same plan. They hated it. Now the guy's the second coming of Adam Smith. What strikes me about the plan is that it's prudent. The other alternative was to essentially nationalize the banks, as he indicated. And when you do that, that's sort of irrevocable. And we don't really know if that's necessary. So he took a more modest step, which is his public-private partnerships. And if we have to nationalize, do something more drastic, maybe we'll be able to do it now. But it strikes me as a very prudent way to approach things.
EJ was criticized by some as too good a deal for the private end of the partnership.
Right. Indeed, it was. I think that President Obama and Secretary Geithner are playing things down the middle, or at least a very particular middle. On the one hand, they are offering a bailout plan for the banks that could well enrich those terrible folks at the hedge funds, and that critics on the left are saying that they're really not challenging the basic structure of the finance industry. On the other hand, Secretary Geithner also spoke in a very tough way this week about new regulations that he and the administration want to impose on the finance industry. This will get them criticism from Wall Street, from some folks on the right. Either this will be not too much of this, not too much of that, just right, or they will find themselves under constant attack from both sides. But at the moment, because the stock market looks pretty good, people are feeling a little better, so they're having a fairly good week out of it.
But do you think that between the public-private partnerships and the move for greater regulation and the stress tests, that all of this is pulling together as some kind of coherent policy, or is it a lot of various improvisations that are addressing one problem after another? David?
I think it's a coherent temperament, at least, which is a temperament of activism, but yet not completely trusting government, A, to set prices, to know how much assets are worth, so to try to preserve some sort of market mechanism. So I think you do have a very moderate temperament there and a desire not to go too far, not to nationalize when it may not be necessary.
EJ, let's move on to the budget. Are congressional Democrats likely to cobble together a budget that looks anything like the budget that Barack Obama sent them?
You know, I think when you were looking at accounts this week, on the same day you had stories saying that the Democrats are really changing Obama's budget a lot, and then you had Peter Orszag, the budget director, saying, well, actually, we're happy with this. We're winning a big victory. What's going on here? I think what's going on here is that the Democrats in Congress are going to make some superficial changes, and some of them are kind of sleight-of-hand changes. They may cut foreign aid here, but then throw it in later in a supplemental budget. They've cut the window on Obama's budget. They've gone back to certain gimmicks. Instead of looking at a 10-year budget, we're going to look at a 5-year budget. I think the one area where you're seeing the administration give ground and accepting it is on cap and trade.
The cap and trade is the system where the government sets a limit on carbon dioxide emissions and then sells permits that give companies the right to pollute.
Right. It does not look like you're going to have robust action on cap and trade this year. But on balance, I think the administration is not unhappy with what it's getting.
David, agree? And what role will Republicans play in that budget process?
Well, I more or less agree. I think cap and trade is largely gone, which is a very important part of the energy budget. It's also an incredible source of about $650 billion in revenue. I think the changing in the cost of the deductions, the charitable giving, I think that revenue idea is gone. So you're losing a lot of revenue. And whether this is going to end up being even more expensive than we thought, I think, is the core issue. We're going to have deficits probably of $1 trillion a year. And that, to me, should be the main Republican talking point. It is. But they have not been particularly effective since their budget is not – it's semi-joke, let's be frank about it. But the rise of deficits, as far as the eye can see, should be cause for great concern.
Could I just say, I think cap and trade may not be gone forever. I think that it's not going to happen this year. I think what's going to the focus this year will be much more on health care.
Let's get back to where I began, which is with Afghanistan policy. David Brooks, you're just back from Afghanistan, where you addressed the overarching question: is the war winnable there?
Yeah, and I really went there very skeptical because it's an incredibly poor country. It's incredibly ill-educated. You've got high school teachers who are illiterate. And so can we really turn this into a functioning society? And I must say the people who are there were unified in their optimism and commitment, and they're incredibly impressive sort of people.
The Afghan people?
The Afghan, but also the Americans who've been there, who've been through Iraq. They feel the Afghan government is making some progress. The military has learned a lot. We're really focusing on law and order for the first time. The military is learning. And so one comes away with impressed by the idea that it is a winnable war, especially if you do as Barack Obama has done, which is to double down, which is to really send some troops into the south where the terrorists have free reign, and to really focus on civil society. It's a very ambitious thing he's announced, but it flows organically from what the experts on the ground want to do.
EJ, you have confidence in this new strategy that's been unveiled?
Well, I think the first thing is that he's defined success down, or to be more charitable, he's set more realistic goals. He's really not focused on fully transforming the country. He's talking about containing and defeating al-Qaeda. I think that what he's buying into is a very long commitment in Afghanistan just to keep a lid on things. And I think the most troublesome part of this, which would exist with or without the new plan, is that developments in Pakistan are very alarming, worrying. That border between Pakistan and Afghanistan is essentially an artificial border. Nobody there really recognizes it. And so I think that whatever chance of success they have in Afghanistan will also depend on Pakistan not blowing up on them.
Notably, this was a strategy announced regarding Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Right. Most of the safe havens over in Pakistan, and I think that's the weakest part of the Obama plan, the idea that we're going to sort of seduce the Pakistanis into actually enforcing those borders and cracking down the terrorists, that's a pipe dream. The one area I do disagree, this is nation building to the max. We're going to go valley by valley, village by village, trying to change that country.
David Brooks of The New York Times, EJ Dionne of The Washington Post, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.